buenos días y bienvenidos a mi comunidad a través de Mega 101. Mi nombre es Elías Escobar. Gracias por acompañarnos como siempre. Actualmente estamos en unos momentos de distanciamiento social y obviamente tenemos la oportunidad de seguir platicando con organizaciones sobre algunos de los temas más importantes que actualmente estamos viviendo. Y el día de hoy, de hecho, estamos platicando con el doctor Barreto de UT Health Stroke Institute. Es el mes de la concientización de enfermedades cardíacas y aquí para platicarnos sobre cómo identificarlas y cómo puedes platicar de estos temas con tus familiares si es que ellos están viviendo síntomas de estas enfermedades cardíacas. Entonces aquí para hablarnos sobre todos esos detalles está Dr. Barreto. Hi, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
So it is the National Stroke Awareness Month, and I know a lot of what's being right now, a lot of the patients are maybe a little scared to go to the hospital because of everything that we're going through, COVID-19. Should I go to the hospital? I'm not exactly sure how, if I'm having a stroke. Tell me a little bit about how we start off identifying these symptoms, not only for ourselves, but for our family members.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In fact, we've noticed nationally that about one out of every three patients now seem to be staying home. And so we've dropped the number of stroke patients coming to the hospital by 30%.
Wow.
And this is very concerning, meaning that most patients with stroke are probably staying at home. And that means they're not coming to the hospital quickly enough to receive treatment. And we know that we have two major treatments that can improve disability after stroke if they're delivered extremely quickly in the first 3 to 4.5 hours, and in some patients all the way out to 24 hours.
Wow.
The most important thing is, like you said, to recognize the symptoms and the signs, because with stroke, it depends upon where in the brain that blood clot is or where the damage is, because in some people, it could present with language problems. They can appear confused, using the wrong words, not able to get their words out. They'll appear frustrated when they have such a problem. They can have weakness in their face with a facial droop. They can have weakness in one arm where the arm starts to drop, or the leg. They can have, face drooping. And the other most important thing is time, getting to the hospital as quickly as possible. We've seen patients who are afraid to come to the hospital, and then the following day, they end up paralyzed because things got worse. And at that point, there's not much we can do because the treatments are given up front rapidly in the first few hours.
So this can happen at any moment, just like you're having a regular conversation in the dining room table, having dinner, or, you know, just simply doing a laundry or just walking down the stairs. It could happen at any moment. And these symptoms that you spoke of, they're important to identify not only for ourselves, but for our family members. Like you say, the droopiness in one side of the face. So the quickest response is just stop and take them immediately to the emergency room.
That's right. Stroke usually starts suddenly, if you think about something striking you down. And because of that, people should be aware of it right away. Sometimes it's the family member who notices that someone is slurring their speech and has drooping of their face. But what happens is that blood clot goes to the brain and immediately the symptoms start. Now, as the brain starts to be starved of oxygen, of blood flow, that area of the brain starts to die. Now, that can happen slowly in some patients, or it can happen quickly, but usually in the first 3 to 4.5 hours, most people still have brain tissue that can be salvaged because you're starting to get permanent damage, but there's still area around that can be salvaged if we can get the artery open. And so certainly, if you come into the hospital and you're seen in the first 2 hours and you receive the clot-busting drug, it's called TPA, it doubles your chance of being completely normal at 3 months. No leftover disability or weakness or trouble speaking, and you can get back to work or to your family.
So this can happen to anybody, but are you more prone if there's family history of any particular other illness, Dr. Barreto?
Yeah, family history is important, mostly from the standpoint that the medical risk factors for stroke tend to run in families. So high blood pressure, diabetes, those are two really important things. Obviously, we can't always do something about our family history, but we can know that our other family members have high blood pressure and we can screen ourselves. Smoking is another really major risk factor for stroke. And so those risk factors, in addition to other drugs of abuse like cocaine, things that you can easily do something about if you don't partake in those, but also recognizing that risk factors for stroke, they do run in families.
So the myth is always, well, I'm not 65 and above. Only those that are older get strokes. Can we talk a little bit about that?
That's a great point. So there are many different types, many different causes of stroke. In fact, I have patients that are 9 years old that have had a stroke.
Oh, wow.
And so younger patients, even kids, are at risk because they can tear one of the arteries in the neck, jumping off trampolines, falling on our head, getting in a car wreck, having whiplash injuries. An artery can tear, a clot can form there, and then go downstream. As we know with our diets and our lifestyles, across the world, but mostly in the United States, people are getting high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity at a younger age. And so the people that used to be in their 60s that suffered from that are now in their 30s. And we're seeing a lot of 30 and 40 year old patients that are having strokes. And so, yeah, they are occurring at younger ages.
Is that something that we could help? I mean, you know, eating better, you know, just improving our diet. Is that, like we mentioned, it is family history, but could we minimize those possibilities as we grow older, including starting with our children, that, you know, maybe we need to add a little bit more, you know, vegetables or, you know, just kind of a healthy eating regimen?
Yeah, most people prescribe the use of something called the Mediterranean diet.
Okay.
And
yes.
The Mediterranean diet is heavy in fish, olive oil, nuts like walnuts or almonds, and a very colorful plate with a lot of vegetables. So if you look at someone's plate when they're sitting down to eat, and it's all yellow and brown because it's fried fish or chicken and then, you know, French fries, you can get a good idea that's probably not the best diet for them.
Right.
So certainly diet leads to a lot of problems downstream because as you eat more and more cholesterol and salt, first it raises your blood pressure and it also then builds up cholesterol inside the walls of the arteries. If this happens in the brain and the neck, it causes stroke. If it happens in the arteries of the heart, it causes heart attacks.
Okay. Is there a feeling when you have a stroke? Do you feel like tightness of the chest of some sort?
Yeah, unfortunately, although we would prefer that it would, most strokes don't have any kind of pain associated with them.
Okay.
Sometimes when you have a bleeding stroke and pressure builds up very quickly, you can have a really bad headache when it starts. But most strokes don't have pain, and so you'll get numbness maybe on one side of your body, and it feels like pins and needles tingling sometimes that you have, like if you hit your funny bone, you know, you feel that kind of
right.
Funny tingling. And so because of that, and there's so many different symptoms that they get missed. And because it doesn't usually hurt, people think to themselves, well, let me see how it feels in an hour. Let me go to bed. I'll take a nap, see how it is in the morning. And the problem there is what began as numbness or maybe just a little bit of weakness now is paralyzed. And at that point, the patient falls out of bed. They can't walk. They call 911. And when they come to the hospital, we do a CAT scan and we see that stroke already there. The brain is already damaged. And at that point, so to speak, the horse is out of the barn and we can't do anything except for therapy, rehab and therapy. And sometimes patients end up unable to swallow and they need a feeding tube and they go to a nursing home. And that kind of quality of life is not something most people would want, maybe even worse than death if you consider being in bed with a feeding tube, unable to even talk or understand what people are telling you. So it's the long-term disability after stroke that is the most devastating both socially, from a family standpoint, and even financially, because it costs a lot of money to, you know, to take care of patients like that for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. De nuevo, si apenas nos estás acompañando, estamos platicando con el Dr. Barreto de UT Health Stroke, el instituto, hablando sobre el mes de la concientización de enfermedades cardíacas. Es muy importante identificar esos síntomas, como él lo ha mencionado, no solamente le pasan a personas de mayor edad, sino también está pasando en los niños, inician desde muy temprana edad y obviamente tiene mucho que ver no solamente con el historial médico de la familia, pero también la dieta. Y ahora están viendo que el 30% de la población no está acudiendo a los hospitales por las enfermedades que tienen medio de asistir, pero es importante identificar los síntomas cuando una persona está teniendo un paro cardíaco y llevarlos inmediatamente al hospital. Now, Dr. Barreto, let's talk just a little bit more. One of the things that you mentioned was that when people have the symptoms and they ignore them and they say, maybe I'll take a nap and I feel better. But once they go to the hospital, they see that it was a stroke. How does that advance just in a matter of hours? So you have the stroke and does it get worse? Does it damage your nervous system or how does that work exactly?
Yeah, so the way I like to think about it is if you have a large blood clot, the main highway is down. So imagine Interstate 10 has a major wreck. If you were blessed to have a lot of feeder roads on the side, you can get blood flow around that area. But eventually, as the traffic builds up there, you'll get a major blockage everywhere. And then that's where there's just no place for the cars to go. And what happens slowly is in the brain, those feeder roads start to fail. And so there are patients that can be rescued from a large stroke even out to 24 hours, but there are very few of those. And we see those patients kind of dwindle over time. So a lot of times what we do is we will take pictures and we'll determine how much damage is done. Let's say it's this big, and how much tissue, brain tissue around that will go on to die and have a major stroke. And if there's a small area that's already dead and a lot of area that's at risk, if we can get the blood clot open, we can dramatically improve outcomes for patients. So certainly getting in as fast as you can, and depending upon how your blood pressure is, how many of those alternate routes you have, we can still help people much further out. But the best treatment, the biggest impact, is in the first few hours.
Great. And so what is your recommendation moving forward if there is family history to get your, you know, blood pressure checked? What are your recommendations to, you know, maybe be conscious about it?
Yeah, that's a it's a great, great point. So the number one thing that we could do across the world to prevent stroke would be to keep the blood pressures in a normal range. And so what happens, I think, a lot is people, they go for their physical and maybe their 20s or their 30s and the blood pressure is high, but it's maybe 140. And so the doctor or the people there say, we need to watch this. Make sure you come back and see us. We'll see, you know, start exercising. Let's see how it looks the next time you come back. Well, they say, well, you know, my blood pressure was a little high, but I was nervous. I had to walk into the office. I get nervous when I see the white coat. And then they kind of ignore that and they don't go back and their blood pressure is continually high. And you think about every heartbeat just hitting the sides of the walls of the arteries in our body. And over many years, that continues to cause a lot of injury to the blood vessels. And then those blood vessels become kind of weakened, almost like if you had a wall and you were just kind of tapping the wall over and over, eventually you're going to get a little crack in the wall. And so if we can control blood pressure, that probably would be the biggest impact for patients.
Wonderful. So just, you know, maybe continue our exercise routine, healthy eating habits, that all kind of helps prevent it, if you will.
Right. And, you know, in some patients and some families, high blood pressure runs in the family, that even if you eat well, yep, and even if you avoid Becoming obese or getting diabetes, you can still have high blood pressure. And that's difficult to explain to some patients because they'll come in with a stroke and they'll say, well, my doctor never told me my blood pressure was high. Well, it may have just been slightly high, but even small reductions in those numbers can result in huge reductions in having stroke.
Incredible. De nuevo, estamos platicando con el Dr. Barreto del Instituto de Health, de UT Health Stroke. Y bueno, pues es muy importante que sigas tus recomendaciones médicas, que sigas ejercitándote, especialmente ahorita en estos momentos donde nos encontramos en casa, en este mundo de distanciamiento social. And Dr. Barreto, right now, it's a little harder to hit the gym or do exercises or, some of us can't go to the park either, you know, for whatever reason. And so I think now it's more important. We're staying home more. We're less active. Maybe we're eating a little out more these days than others. And so right now it's the time to be extra careful.
Now that's true. I found it myself too. When I'm at home and I can't get out that much and all my food is sitting there, I'm probably more likely to just start snacking on things.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's difficult. I think many people have encountered that. And so it's important, I think, to make meals rather than trying to eat things that you've bought already pre-made.
Right.
And really watch what you're eating. Avoid a lot of salt. I tell people, try not to add an additional amount of salt because a lot of foods we eat already have so much salt in them.
Right. What is the recommended sodium that somebody should be, an adult should be intaking?
Yeah, if you look on the back of cans or you look on the back of what we eat from the grocery store, it'll tell you what percentage of the sodium that has. And it is alarming sometimes when you look at certain soups. One can of soup can sometimes have well over half the amount of sodium that you're supposed to have. And so I think when you look at that, you realize that we're all taking in probably double or triple what is recommended.
Right. Even when you try to be healthy and you have a salad and then you pour on the dressing, you turn it around and you're like, my goodness, this dressing is so high in sodium and I'm trying to be healthy. So, you know, just we need to be conscious of maybe checking labels now that they're available and everywhere you go, they offer a lot of the nutrition facts. So it's just a combination of everything that, you know, it's self-care.
Yeah, I think also if you look for most products now, companies have been starting to make a low sodium version of whatever they're selling, you know, so there may be a tomato soup, but right next to it's going to be low sodium tomato soup. So try to go for those all the time.
Wonderful. De nuevo, platicando con el doctor Barreto, es el mes de la concientización de enfermedades cardíacas. Y bueno, pues para más información, los puedes visitar a través de la página de internet UT Health. 30% de la población actualmente aquí en Houston no está acudiendo a los hospitales por miedo a las enfermedades del COVID-19. Y bueno, ahora es el momento de irte a checar si es que conoces a una persona que actualmente está teniendo un paro cardíaco, si lo ves con algún embolio que está pasando en la casa, tienes que llevarlo al cuarto de emergencia inmediatamente. Dr. Barreto, thank you so much for all the information. And obviously, it's more important to kind of get the word out and say, if you see a family member that is having a stroke, don't be afraid to go take them to the hospital immediately.
Agreed. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.